Lori Putnam, St. Cloud School Superintendent. She's starting on time, and she joins me now. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me, Jay, on this very cold morning.
Yeah, we've had a cold stretch, certainly causing some school issues. And your threshold is at, 35 below either air temperature or wind chill that's going to drive you to either 2 hours later school closing?
That's correct. Yeah, and even that's very cold, right? So we certainly acknowledge that, and I've had a few families reach out with concern, and reminding folks that they are always able to excuse their child to stay home. But we've really looked across the state at common practice, and that 35 below is really what most districts do. But we do when we get feedback, just like with anything, we always commit to taking a look at that and reviewing our practice.
Okay, and school is going to start 2 hours late today?
It sure is, yep.
Yep, okay. So let's talk about some of the things going on, certainly in Minnesota. All the talk is about ICE and their involvement here.
Sure.
In the state, and certainly reactions that people have had, and people have strong feelings, no doubt about it, including one of your school board members, Natalie Copeland. She was recently censured by the board. Any comment on that?
I think... What I've held to, Jay, is that, as school district employees, right, we have a different standard around public-private speech, and we are, we are not able to separate right out as individuals from the titles that we hold, and while I certainly understand the feelings that people have, right. I also stand firm, right, that we have to communicate in a respectful way and not target people. And I've shared this, right, with Natalie and with the board, so I'm not speaking out of turn. We have to be role models for our students. And there are ways to express ourselves without, and Natalie also, right, has apologized for that, right, that there are ways to express ourselves without using vulgarity and targeting others.
Let's talk about ICE. Have you had students or staff concerned about ICE's presence, not only in the state, but certainly in the St. Cloud area?
Absolutely. It weighs heavy on the hearts of many, right? And as you acknowledged at the beginning, there are certainly different viewpoints and different feelings, and so always thoughtful to acknowledge that. But what we can coalesce around, I believe, is that schools should be and are safe places for this community's children. And so that's where we live, right? Every day we are that is our commitment, right? That they are safe, welcoming places. And, federal law reaffirms that every student has access to public education. And so we keep that our priority in making sure that our kids have access. There are rumors, of course, right? There's fear that happens in our communities, and there are rumors that begin to spread. I can say for certainty that ICE has not attempted to enter our buildings. They've not interacted with our students or staff or families during the school day. There have been a couple instances of ICE parked on public roadways, which they do have every right to do. But then that causes some fear some students see it or some staff see it. I certainly am not trying to minimize the experience of those folks, but also being really clear that we have procedures in place, and like any visitor or guest, right, people need to be able to state their business and have legitimate cause for being on our campus.
If ICE were to come to one of your schools, what is the policy on that?
Yeah, we've got several board policies that govern visitors so that is actually the visitor policy, right, where people would need to identify themselves for identification and state their business, right, for being there. And then we also have a policy around data privacy and law enforcement of any kind, right? Nobody, including law enforcement, can take a child a staff member without a judicial warrant. If people are looking for data, does a student attend? Then there are certainly data privacy laws that Minnesota has in place. And so we are not inventing anything new in response to this. We are simply sharing what our board policies and practices are, and making sure that people understand that.
Lori, have any families or students requested to go to e-learning because of concerns about ICE?
You know, there have been some students and families who have said that, yes. And what we, you know, Jay, this is a, I'm going to be super candid, right? Those of you who know me know that I am. You know, this is a really challenging situation, I think, for school leaders and for many other people, but right, we're talking about that decision, which rests in our hands. And we know that distance learning did not work well in COVID, right? I think we are all very clear that that was a failed situation. And so, you know, ethically, we certainly don't want to recreate that experience, while also understanding that families are scared and are not choosing not to send their children, some families, obviously. And so really working, our plan is to work with families individually to find out what is it that they need to be able to access their in-person education. You know, some of the things that we're doing are looking at the to and the from, right? We know that our students are safe once they're with us. So for our families who do have fears, how do we support them in getting from their doorstep to the bus, from their doorstep to our school? And then also, you know, looking at if families are saying, you know what, we aren't leaving our homes, then looking at attendance accommodations, just like we do regularly for our students who might be medically fragile or have a temporary but, you know, significant medical need, going on extended vacations, right? We always will make accommodations for our students and our families to make sure they can continue to access learning. That looks like tutoring, access to their work, support from counselors, mental health professionals, but a full distance learning program outside of what we already have established for high schoolers is not an option.
Okay, so at this point, that is not something you're making available to individuals?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Tell me about any updates on the pending construction of the Apollo project, something a little bit more positive.
Yes, a little bit more positive. Super exciting. Beginning March 2nd, construction will start on the ambulance bay and the EMT lab, which we've been talking about for, it feels like forever, so really excited that that's going to begin. In late April, people will begin to see construction on the Apex Athletic Center, which has a name now. We're so pleased by that. The design work is complete, and so that'll be nice for our public and our community to begin to see work actually happening out there along Veterans. So, in late May, we're going to begin to do some internal movement. The weight room will move because as people likely know, right, we are going to have to shift things while we're remodeling, and students will be in session. And then in August, people will see construction on that storm shelter, and then some other things happening inside that won't always be as visible.
Okay. Can you tell me about any reached contracts or coming close to reaching contracts with some of the groups that you hadn't reached a contract with last time we talked?
Yes, we now have an agreement with custodians and a tentative agreement with paraeducators, and we are in active negotiations with our teachers, our principals, directors, and special education supervisors. And then we do have scheduled dates for mediation with our nutritional services and clerical teams.
I also wanted to bring up that Lori recently has received another superintendent award. I say another because you've won numerous awards now. So you are Minnesota's 2025 Superintendent of the Year. Congratulations, Lori.
Thank you.
And you're going to be recognized in July at a seminar in New Orleans. Are you looking forward to that?
You know, yes, and. Can I say yes, and? I've never been to New Orleans in July, but it sounds hot and humid. But I'm very grateful and honored that for the recognition.
Any other successes in the school district you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, you know, we are super proud of our Tech Morning Show students who use generative AI to extend learning and create. They made a music video called We Need You Here, and students chose that theme based on some of their own personal experiences with depression and also CentraCare's recent concerns regarding that they had shared earlier in the school year around depression. And so, you know, just being really aware of you know, really grateful that they're aware of what's happening around them. It is being submitted to the Upper Midwest Emmy Award, so sending them lots of luck. And then also, six of our students recently advanced from the district Spelling Bee to Regionals, which is being held at SCSU in February. And then finally, congratulations to 29 of our students who were recognized at the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration for their essays, visual art, and spoken word entries. Excellent. Really proud of all of them.
All right, Lori, thanks. Appreciate the time as always. And we'll talk to you again in about a month.
Thanks, Jay. Take good care.
You too. That's Lori Putnam, St. Cloud School Superintendent, joining us each month here on WJON, the last Monday of the month.